Hello and welcome again to Authors Audio, where we interview authors from all around the world. I'm your host, Jake D. Steele. Remember, you can listen to all our interviews anytime by visiting our website at worldwideweb.authorsaudio.com. Today we have a correspondent and author from Israel, the author of Schmoozing with Terrorists, Aaron Klein. Aaron is the Jerusalem Bureau Chief for the popular news website worldnetdaily.com. His articles are also reprinted in the New York Sun, Ynet News, the Boston Globe, and the Jerusalem Post. He is also a frequent guest on Al Jazeera Network. It's my pleasure to welcome Aaron Klein to the program. Hello, Aaron. How are you?
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Aaron. It's great to have you on Authors Audio, and I see from the news in the last few days that things are really heating up far more in the Middle East now. You've got the Annapolis Summit coming up. I see your president, Olmert, is releasing now 431 new Palestinian prisoners, and there is talk of the Palestinians getting more weapons from Russia. We'll get to all of that, but can you first tell our audience how the book Schmoozing with Terrorists came to be written?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I've been reporting from the Middle East now for about 3 years, and I've been talking with these terrorists on a regular basis for my reporting. I report for worldnetdaily.com, and I focus on terrorism, and so I actually talk with the terrorists. They call me on a regular basis to take credit for attacks. And then I see in America that here we are, 6 years after the 9/11 attacks, and most Americans still don't understand what terrorism is really about. And they also don't understand who the enemy is and just what the enemy is that we're fighting. And even how sometimes the terrorist enemy is emboldened by the United States, by our own policies, by our politicians, even sometimes by some of our liberal Hollywood icons. And so I thought that I would schmooze with terrorists, literally go into the viper's den of jihad, of terrorism, bring the readers in with me, and then maybe Americans can better understand the enemy we're up against, and once we do, maybe we can actually formulate how to finally beat these guys.
Well, it sounds interesting, Aaron, but how does a Jewish reporter actually get past the door to even talk to a so-called terrorist? How do you do that?
But these terrorists, they love talking to reporters. They love talking to any reporter, whether it's a Jew, a Christian, or a Catholic. Some of these terror groups, believe it or not, they even have full-scale public relations departments within their terror organizations just to deal with the media. It was actually very easy to get a hold of these guys. They love talking to reporters. Still, obviously, I realized that they're killers, they're terrorists, they've kidnapped reporters before, they've killed reporters before, and so I was as careful as I could be, although once you're actually with them, once you're in their stronghold, it's very clear that you're under their protection or lack thereof, and that there's really not much you can do. But I'll tell you also, I think that as interesting as they are to me, because they're the enemy, they're the terrorists, and I'm a Jew, I think they also found me pretty interesting because it was the first time they had a real opportunity to talk with a Jew, or at least as far as they know, to talk with a Jew. And so I think they were as fascinated with me as I was with them.
Terrorism in today's world has been empowered by linking politics, religion, oil, land, money. Who do you see as essential behind all that? It's certainly a much larger picture than Palestinians and the Jewish issue, isn't it?
Well, of course, actually. A lot of people think that terrorism is about pieces of territory, that you have the Palestinian terrorists, and they're just looking to get Israel, and you have the insurgents attacking our troops in Iraq. They just want America out of the Middle East. You have the terrorists in Afghanistan, and then you have Al-Qaeda, and you have Hezbollah. They just want to take over the Sheba Farms or deal with Lebanese issues. So people think that terrorism is about pieces of territory here and there, but I'll tell you, I talked with all sorts of terrorists, from the Palestinians through Hezbollah, through Al-Qaeda, and I can tell you, and the terrorists, they're very open about what it is that their true goals really are. To them, an American withdrawal from Iraq or Afghanistan or the destruction of Israel, these are just means to an end. These are just stepping stones. And what is their end? What is their goal? It's to spread their brand of Islam in the Middle East, in Europe, and ultimately in the United States of America, make no mistake about it, whether we want to admit it or not, terrorism in New York, terrorism in Madrid, terrorism in Afghanistan or in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, it's all the same animal. Yes, the terrorists have short-term goals, but their long-term goals, literally to impose their ideology around the world, they're the same. And who's perpetuating this? You know, I think let's take a step back and look at us, look at the United States, the fact that we are giving a lot of money to Saudi Arabia, which it's in their madrasas and their school systems where the next generation of Al-Qaeda is being indoctrinated. Look at the Palestinian areas. We're giving hundreds of millions of dollars in aid per year, and it's one of the most terror-saturated cities in civilized society. At Egypt, it's the second largest recipient of American financial aid. I don't know why, because their media is some of the most anti-American, anti-Semitic propaganda machines in the world today, and the Muslim Brotherhood, which is allied with Al-Qaeda, seems to be gaining ground there. And so just look around, and I think that we are unfortunately perpetuating a lot of the terror in the world today.
Well, you cast in your book the idea of Islam taking over America, and you know, but isn't that argument really far removed from reality?
No, not at all. In fact, I sat down with these terror leaders, and they described in detail just what it is that life would be like in the United States if they ever take over. If you're asking, do I ever think they will take over, of course not. I believe absolutely in American resolve. I believe that one day we'll absolutely win this war. Of course, I think maybe Americans need a wake-up call or two, and that's in part why I wrote the book. But I don't think that the terrorists will ever take over, but they want to. This is their goal. They're looking to spread Islam not only in the Middle East, but also in the West. And so I actually sat down and asked them, all right, let's say you guys win and we lose, we America, we lose, and you, the terrorists, take over the United States. Explain to me what life would be like. And this is something every American out there needs to hear because it's what we're fighting for. They explained how women would have to walk around with their heads covered and that women couldn't hold certain kinds of jobs. They couldn't hold government jobs. That no new churches or synagogues can be built in the Islamic State, and that non-Muslims, and there are a lot of non-Muslims in America, they have to pay a special protection tax, it's called the jizya, just to live in the Islamic State, and that non-Muslims can't own land, you have to actually rent land from a Muslim, and then they said that they would shut down all of our bars and our clubs and anything that serves alcohol, because alcohol, beer, through wine, through vodka, whatever, it would be completely banned. And then they said they would shut down our music, shut down our movie industry, so Hollywood would be closed down. Even our news organizations, from the New York Times, which I think petitions for jihad, but I guess the terrorists don't like it too much, New York Times, through CNN, through even Fox News, completely shut down. And I even asked the terrorists what they thought of some of our Hollywood icons. And they never heard of a lot of them. They didn't know who Julia Roberts was or Tom Cruise or even the old-timers like Alfred Hitchcock. But every terrorist that I talked to in the book, in Schmoozing with Terrorists, they knew who Madonna and Britney Spears were, incredibly, and they actually threatened to cut off the heads of Madonna and of Britney Spears for corrupting humanity on Earth. And so, well, the part about Britney Spears being her head cutting off, I don't think that's so terrible, but the rest, it's pretty much what we have to look forward to if we ever lose the war.
Yes, I noticed in the book that you talked also about Richard Gere and his asking the terrorists to vote and everything. Of course, they did vote, or the Palestinians, I should say, because they're not all terrorists. And the Palestinians voted in Hamas, which...
It's incredible. You have these Hollywood liberals, and let's put Richard Gere aside for a minute. You have people like Sean Penn and Rosie O'Donnell and Jane Fonda who are petitioning really for the same thing that the terrorists want. You have Sean Penn who went on Iran to Iran on a solidarity mission. He says that Iran should get nuclear weapons. He calls Bush and Cheney war criminals. Or Rosie O'Donnell who has said that terrorists are moms and dads too. Don't fear the terrorists. She's even questioned who's behind 9/11. Jane Fonda, Barbara Streisand, all anti-Iraq war activists. And people have long speculated that maybe these celebrities are kind of helping the terrorists or at least advocating the same things they want. So I actually took the quotes of speeches, anti-war speeches from Sean Penn, from Rosie, Jane Fonda, the West, read their quote, these quotes, which are translated into Arabic, to senior terrorist leaders in the book and schmoozing with terrorists, and the terrorists on the record, these are well-known leaders, loved it. They were emboldened to hear that there were people out there like Rosie, like Sean Penn and others, who are petitioning for the same thing the terrorists want. Of course, I don't think Rosie and Sean Penn realized that to the terrorists, a withdrawal from Iraq is the beginning of the end of America. At least that's in their minds what they believe. And so it's just incredible, because if the terrorists ever took over the United States, as I just said before, it would be Rosie O'Donnell, it would be Sean Penn, who would be among the first to have their heads cut off. And sometimes there are celebrities who don't know what they're doing, like Richard Gere, who you asked about. He actually made a commercial in which he got on Palestinian television about 2.5 years ago, and he said that he was talking, quote-unquote, on behalf of the world, urging Palestinians to vote in elections that were being held that week between Hamas, the terror group, and Fatah, which is responsible for more terrorism than Hamas, believe it or not. And we all know, and by the way, his co-stars in the commercial included Taysir Tamimi, who's a supporter of Palestinian suicide bombings, and another guy, his name's Abdullah Hanna, also a supporter of suicide bombings. He's aided terror groups. So Richard Gere and these terror supporters urging Palestinians to vote, the Palestinians get out, and they vote for Hamas. And in the book, in Schmoozing with Terrorists, Hamas leaders thank Richard Gere for helping them get elected. And it's just another example of a lame, brame, idiot celebrity who basically helps terrorists.
Well, I have to say that they have a right to have their opinion, and they really are doing it to try to forward peace there, though. I mean, that is their basic end, is it not?
Well, that's what they think, but I think electing Hamas is not exactly forwarding peace.
Yeah, they didn't. They weren't asking them to vote for Hamas, were they?
Well, no, they asked them to vote in elections between the Hamas terror group and Fatah, which is responsible for more terrorism than Hamas. So basically between one terror group and the other.
So elections in the Palestinian scheme of things are just one bad result or another bad result. So asking them to vote there's no real answer.
Maybe in this small case of Richard Gere, I'm sure he didn't know what he was doing, and I absolutely believe that he wanted to further peace. But I'm talking about Sean Penn. I'm talking about Rosie O'Donnell, people who go on solidarity missions to enemies of the United States and then urge withdrawals, I don't think that they're advocating peace. And I'll tell you, the terrorists, they saw the model of Vietnam, where America eventually withdrew from, evacuated, whether you think it's good or not, but that's just what happened. America evacuated after the anti-war movement in the United States really pressured the government to get out. And you saw that the anti-war movement was fueled by politicians and anti-war activists and also a lot of celebrities. And the terrorists nowadays, they're looking to repeat the exact same model of Vietnam. They're looking to get the United States out. And so they realized that it was Hollywood that helped galvanize the public against the war, and the terrorists appreciate all the help that they can get now from Hollywood, even though they hate all Americans, Democrats, Republicans, actors, whoever, but they'll help, they'll take whatever help they can
get. Are you saying that the state of the Palestinians that they're in is entirely their fault, do you think?
Oh, no. Well, I think it's in major part the fault of the Palestinian leadership. They've gotten billions in aid. Actually, the Palestinians have gotten more financial aid per capita than any other nation in the history of the world. And there's nothing else that comes close, actually. And they're still living in refugee camps. They're still living in poor conditions. The refugee camps are perpetuated by the UN. Other refugees around the world, the UN tries to resettle as quickly as possible. Here, the UN perpetuates the situation. So I think it's ridiculous. That Palestinians are definitely victims, and I think largely they're victims of their own leadership and of the international community.
I'd like to get down to the real nub of this, because it seems to me that it's really there's a large religious component to the arguments on both sides. But do most Jews in Israel believe that God gave them this land and that's in question here, and that really no Palestinians should live there? Do they feel that?
No, I think that Israel's divided really in half, the same way America is, between the conservatives and the liberals. And there are a lot of people in Israel, about half, that are secular, that I don't even think believe too much in the Bible. And there are others that are religious. But when it comes to giving territory to the Palestinians, the Israeli public saw what happened in the Gaza Strip. Israel gave them what they wanted. They evacuated Gaza, and Hamas was elected to power. Rockets are now flying every day from the Gaza Strip into nearby Jewish communities. Literally, Hamas formed militaries in Gaza, and they're ready for war. And so now Israel is talking about evacuating the West Bank, which borders Jerusalem. It's within rocket-firing range of Tel Aviv and of Israel's international airport. And Mahmoud Abbas, the guy that Israel would hand the territory over to, he doesn't have any power. He has no authority. His Fatah security forces, who, by the way, are also involved in terrorism, they can't even round up criminals. Israel has to go in and do it. And so there's very little question that if Israel evacuates the West Bank, Hamas will probably take over and will probably use it to further their goal of Israel's destruction. And so I'm not talking here even about Bible or the biblical areas. The Israelis, they put that aside. And of course, there are a lot who believe absolutely that the Palestinian territories are biblical. But they just don't want rockets being fired into Tel Aviv. And I have to say, I don't blame them.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's very interesting that we have in Canada, where I'm from, we have Palestinians living here, Arabs from many nations, and of course a lot of Jewish people also. And here, they don't fight. So there is something there. I guess we have a lot more land here and everybody's scattered around. But there, of course, everything's compressed, isn't it?
It is, but I'll tell you again, it's not about land. It has nothing to do with territory. They're not just looking to get back pieces of the West Bank, let's say, before the West Bank even was part of Israel. When it was Arab, the Arabs were still attacking the Jewish state. This is about destroying Israel. And when Ahmadinejad, the dictator in Iran, the president of Iran, says he wants to wipe Israel off the map, he doesn't talk about pieces of territory, the West Bank or Jerusalem. He's talking about the entire area, and the terrorists as well. They're not looking to liberate any piece of territory. And I talk with them, so I'm not talking here as an analyst, I'm talking as somebody who's spoken to the terrorists, and they will outright say that their goal is destroying Israel, and that this is just a stepping stone toward their further goal of Islam dominating the world and taking over the West. To them, they saw the days of Saladin, the Muslim conqueror who took over much of the Middle East and was looking to conquer for Islam to conquer Europe. The terrorists, they believe that the days of Saladin have returned, and they're looking to do much the same thing.
You talk in your book about how this kind of terrorism is funded from around the world. I wonder if you could just briefly go over how that works.
There's one chapter in Schmoozing with Terrorists that I think every American needs to read. It's called How You Fund Terrorism. You, the listener, if you're in America, not in Canada. When it comes to the Palestinian arena, because this is where I report from the most, and so I know the most about this, America thinks that you have Hamas, they're the bad guys, they're the terrorists, which of course they are, and then you have Fatah, they're the moderates. Actually, like I said before, Fatah is responsible for more terrorism than Hamas. They took responsibility for every suicide bombing in Israel in the last 3 years, and rockets and shooting attacks. But anyway, we think they're moderate, and so the U.S. is giving hundreds of millions in aid to the Fatah security forces. We even run training camps, and I visited the camps, and they're very well reported about. We run training camps for Fatah security forces. We give them weapons. In fact, it was just announced that we might be giving them 1,000 assault rifles this week. The only problem with this is that members of the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, which is Fatah's military wing, they're the ones carrying out the suicide attacks, these members are openly members of Fatah security forces. There are literally senior leaders of the Al-Aqsa Brigades that are being trained by the United States as part of Fatah forces. And so we are literally handing weapons to terrorists, giving them training, and then they go out and they carry out attacks. And this happens much in, I believe, in the Iraqi arena, where we're arming one group against the other in Afghanistan. And even aside from arming and funding directly to terrorism, we're also giving a lot of money to terrorist-supporting entities like Saudi Arabia, like Egypt, and then even like schools, like a Palestinian school that we gave about $800,000, I believe. It turns out that the school's laboratories are used to build rockets and suicide bomb belts, where we gave $1.3 million about a year ago to build a sports for the Palestinians, and the Palestinians turned the sports stadium around and named it after the first suicide bomber to attack an American troop in Iraq. So I think we should really look at a much closer look at where what it is that we're funding when it comes to the Middle East.
Yeah, for sure. Moving up to the present for a moment, Aaron, this Annapolis summit was set up by the Bush government and will be in Annapolis, Maryland, I understand. There should be apparently about 40 countries participating if it all goes the way they want it, and including Syria and I'm not sure about Iran, but quite a few countries. How do you see this shaping up for Israel?
Well, I think that if Israel is going to sit here and outline a Palestinian state and evacuate it and give it to Abbas in the West Bank, Hamas is going to take over. Abbas has no authority, and Omar also doesn't have much authority. And the fact that Syria is now being invited, I think, is ridiculous, because Syria is supporting the insurgents that are attacking our troops in Iraq. They're giving weapons to Hezbollah. They're in a military alliance with Iran. The chiefs of different terror organizations are living openly in Syria, and Israel may or may not have bombed a nuclear installation in Syria. And so now, without Syria renouncing terrorism, without Syria taking even any minuscule step to stop the insurgents from attacking our troops, without ending their alliance with Iran, we're giving them this major prize of allowing them to come to this summit. You look at all Israeli-Palestinian summits, every single one in the history of Israel and Palestine, they've all blown up, they've all led to violence immediately, and they've all failed. So I think that this time it's probably going to be much the same.
What would be your solution if you had the chance to sort of solve this situation? Do you have any ideas about that?
Well, I think that there was a very interesting initiative that's now taking ground in the Knesset, where Jordan would come in and administer the Palestinian territories, because Jordan has a military, they're capable. I think that they're a very trustworthy ally of the United States of Israel. And so they would administer the Palestinian areas, Israel would administer the Jewish areas in the West Bank, and that's it. I think forget about the Palestinian leadership. They've failed. They've taken all the money and squandered it on their own expenses, and they support terrorism. So I think that that initiative is very interesting.
Well, do you think the thing would change if the Palestinians had their own country there?
Again, if the Palestinians were looking to create a country that to live in peace with Israel, then that would be great. Israel would love that, but they're not. I don't believe that any of the Palestinian leaders are. They got Gaza. They're now using it to attack. If they get the West Bank, they'll use that to attack. If they get Jerusalem, they'll use that to attack. They could have built a great society in the Gaza Strip and proven what it is that they would do with their territory. And the problem is that you have these generations of Palestinians that are brought up on hate. If you watch the Palestinian media, it's incredibly anti-Semitic, anti-American. Kids are taught in school that Jews are demons and devils and Israel doesn't exist. And even in the music videos on their television stations, it's about suicide bombings. This is not a generation. This is not a society that is even ready for peace if there was a leader out there who would actually make peace. So I think the prospects are grim, and I ultimately think it's going to come down to a war of one side versus the other, and ultimately only one side can win. Maybe that won't happen tomorrow, maybe not next year, but I think eventually that's what's going to happen.
Right, because you really have this whole Iranian situation where they're apparently funding a lot of this kind of stuff, too.
Indeed. Iran is actually perpetuating a lot of the terrorism. Hamas, other Palestinian terror groups, are being trained in Iran. They're given weapons. They're giving money. And not just Iran, and not just in the Palestinian areas. Iran is in an alliance with Syria. They're helping them. They're giving aid to Hezbollah, the Lebanese militia. They're destabilizing Lebanon. So if you look at a lot of the instability in the Middle East today, it seems to largely be coming from Iran.
Well, I'd like to thank you so much, Aaron, for being with us on Authors Audio today. I know your time's a little bit limited, but I think you've certainly enlightened a lot of our listeners as to what it's like to have the perspective from the Middle East. And for all my listeners, I say keep dreaming and happy reading. Until next time, this is Jake D. Steele. Goodbye for now.